Hey, it's Arrow inside the LAProductions.us studio, unplugged and totally uncut with Commander Cody of Commander Cody and his Lost Planet Airmen.
Hey, Arrow, how's it going down there?
Fantastic, as always. Hey, when are you going to pull your van into our backyard down here?
Well, I need to, you know, funny enough, I need to have somebody call me up and offer me some cash. But as soon as I get the call, I'm there, trust me.
I got to tell you, live from Electric City, I've had a Peter Frampton comes alive moment in this because there's just something special about this album.
I really appreciate that. That's what I've been trying to show everybody we've been doing for the last 10 years. Because everyone's familiar with the Lost Planet Airmen, of course. But that's an 8-piece band where everybody plays another instrument so we could play any kind of music in the world. Now, when you go from being a big stadium band like that down into doing a lot of bars and stuff, you don't have a tour bus, you don't have a truck and a road crew, you've got everything fitting into one minivan, so everyone's got to figure out how to do it with 4 pieces. So I've developed a classical 4-piece band, and I've been working with them for the last 10 years, and I call them the Western Airmen to differentiate so no one confuses and thinks that this is going to be a giant swing band.
But you know people are going to find a way to dance to it. I mean, take the song They Kicked Me Out of the Band. I mean, look at the power behind these vocals.
Yeah, well, our storytelling, songs and stuff like that is part of what we do. And Kick Me Out of the Band is one of my favorite songs. It's from the California school that we fell into when we moved to California, and I picked it up from them. I didn't write that myself. I wish I did. But I've been doing it for about 20 years, but we had never recorded some of those things live. And when you listen to it also, it's got a very swingy and country feeling to it, because yeah, Sean Allen, the lead guitar player, is in the Western Swing Hall of Fame as a steel guitar player.
I've always wanted to ask you this. Would you say Hot Rod Lincoln was the very first rap song?
I would not say that, because it's a talking fast genre that's been going on for decades, since the 30s. People have been doing stuff like Hot Rod Lincoln since the 30s, and it's kind of like a fast rap with a killer rockabilly guitar riff for sure, and the generation had never heard anything like that at that time, but I picked it up from a song that, don't forget, was first recorded in 1952, and it was very familiar kind of talking type song. There was a lot of that stuff going on.
That rockabilly sound that you created, you took it out to San Francisco, which is the very place that the Stray Cats took their rockabilly. So what is it about that town?
Well, it's because musicians drift to the San Francisco area because it's the basic coolest place for a musician to be. And when we moved out, we didn't have the rhythm section. And when we got Lance Dickinson and Bruce Barlow, the bass player and the drummer, I put them with the guys we brought out from Ann Arbor. That's what kicked it in. And then we developed from the rockabilly. We realized that Andy Stein, the fiddle player, could play sax. Bill Kirchen, the guitar player, could play trombone. Billy C. Farrell, the harmonica player, play a lead singer, could play trumpet, and then there was no stopping us after that.
The album we're talking about is Live from Electric City. What you have done with the quality of this album is that you have put fans and new followers backstage with a pass, plus they're in the front row of the concert.
What we did is, and it's funny, Electric City is an actual little city in the middle of Washington where they have this very funky festival called the Sunbanks Festival. It's only about 5,000 people, but it's just the most fun festival on the planet. We go there all the time, and I recorded it once, and I was listening to it, and I said, wait a second, you know, this is an album. I don't need to sweeten up the vocals. I don't need to fix the guitar solos. I don't need to take out any clams. This is exactly what we played. If there's a mistake in there, and the only mistakes in there are by the piano player, by the way. If there's a clunker in there, this is exactly what it sounded like, and I wanted people to hear no frills, no fixes, no nothing. You want to hear a 4-piece classic rock band, this is it.
Look at what you guys did with the song Don't Let Go. Those harmonies are so spot on that I actually sat there and said, this is a live album?
Yeah, this and that band is so good, we play like that every night.
That's got to be because you have stayed true to your original vision.
Yeah, and doing the same set list for 20 years.
All right, now I have to ask this. Why did it take you 45 years to call this album the best ever?
No, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that's the best ever album we made is Live from Deep in the Heart of Texas. But this is the best album I made in the last 30 years. That's for damn sure.
You know how it is. It's the collaboration of showmanship and laying down these tracks. Do you ever sit there and think about where is this going to land?
Well, we And what are you going to do when you have an 8-piece band and everybody's rocking out and jumping around and playing parts and singing? There's four lead singers. What are you going to do when you have to pare it down to your whole operation, because you're doing the blues circuit? Your whole operation has to fit into a minivan. How are you going to make that work? Well, what you do is you get the best possible guys. Everybody has to sing. Everybody has to sing good, and nobody can make a mistake except the old commander, of course.
Four lead singers. Three Dog Night only had three. No wonder you're outlasting everybody.
Well, they got, actually, let's call it three singers and me.
But you love doing it, right? I mean, this is more than just laying out music. You like the performance as well, right?
Well, yeah. I'm not a singer. I'm a vocalist.
So when are you guys going to put a podcast together where you can share the actual journey with those who are following you right now?
Well, I tell you what, I'm thinking of working about that. And thanks for mentioning that, because that's the first encouragement that I've heard to do that. I have been thinking about it, and I'd like to do it.
I think what fascinates me about this album is that the iGeneration, as well as the millennials, are going to find this album, and they're going to study this sound, because it's authentic. It's not candy-coated.
Oh, no. No, we've been playing like that for a long time. And the important thing is that every generation doesn't want to hear. Like when I was a kid, when you were a kid, you didn't want to hear what your mom listened to. You know, you just don't want to hear. You just don't want to hear it, you know. But what I'm saying, and it's like I said when I first came out, because when I came out and I used the term boogie-woogie music, they said, no, you can't use that. That's old. That's, you can't do that. And I said, no, yes, I can, because people got to hear what it is like. And everything comes from something that happened before and has changed by whatever's happening now. So this is old stuff we've been playing for a real long time. Doesn't mean it doesn't rock. But also, most people are prejudiced in thinking that people peak, and then after they peaked, oh, it's all downhill for after that. That's not true today. You can get better as you get older. You don't have to geese out, man.
So true on that. Even with the song House of Blues Light, that piano is so authentic. I mean, it's the star just like the vocals.
Well, that's my whole concept. That's my whole concept. And House of Blues Lights is one of those classic mid-40s, 1947, as a matter of fact, boogie-woogie songs from that classic boogie-woogie period. And we want to keep to that feeling with a really casual kind of swinging piano, but it's still got a rock underneath.
Dude, you got to come back to this show anytime in the future. You've always got a backstage pass.
I appreciate that. I'd love to come back.
You got to get that band down here in Charlotte as soon as you can.
Oh, I'd like to come down to Charlotte and not just hang out in the airport all day.
That's so true. Be brilliant today.
Hey, thanks a lot, man.